Hey everybody, good to have you with us. We're on this series about the mind and emotions and changing and so that our lives, we really begin to know God, feel God, we begin to live this incredible Christian life. So our last session I talked about putting off the old, putting on the new as a Christian. But I want to move on right from there because this is an issue that so many Christians have actually never dealt with. Never known how. So let's get into the practical of how to do this. All right, you've given your life to Jesus Christ. He lives in your spirit. Now, the spirit is, you are a spirit, you have a soul. The soul is your mind, your emotions, your thinking, your willpower, and you live in a body, which is your earth suit. So although all of God's power, his love, his joy, his healing, his peace, all of this is in you, you've got to get it out into your mind and into your body so that you can experience him physically and you can experience him mentally. You can experience him emotionally. Some people say, well, I don't go by my emotions. Oh, I agree. I don't make decisions by my emotions because they're so often wrong. But I have found out that I can stay emotionally strong, which means in normally, I can stay in the positive emotions of joy, peace, and patience, and perseverance, and long-suffering, and goodness, and gentleness. And I can stay there. And when attacks come, I've got to can kind of deal with it. Whereas before, I almost lived in this negative, angry, looking at others, blaming others, going to bed angry at night, bitter, unhappy, upset. This is where so much of Christianity is. So, all right, let's start with in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, the Apostle Paul, I'm going to give you the context because everyone thinks they know this, and it's one of the most powerful portions of Scripture in the Bible. Ephesians 6, 10 to 19. And he's talking here about a man or a woman who's a fighter. This is a person that's, I mean, I was going to use the word wicked, but it's not a good word. But I mean, just potent, amazing military person with all this armor on who wins all the time. And people have taken this to mean that the reason you are the way you are is because demons keep you that way. I disagree. Or you are this way because God hasn't touched you in a special way. I disagree. God's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness, and it's in your spirit. So here, Paul is thinking this through as Holy Spirit is, because all of the Scripture is inspired by Holy Spirit, the Bible says. And so Paul is looking at a Roman soldier one day. Maybe he was in captivity, maybe he was in chains, maybe he was being guarded, maybe he was just out looking. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit began to show him that the armor that this soldier had was how we need to see ourselves as Christians. But here's what's interesting. All of the armor were the armor of the mind. Every piece of this armor is a belief. And if you don't have this belief, it doesn't matter what you do, you can't renew your mind until you understand the truths of God's word. So he goes on to say that you can be strong in the power, you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So being strong in the Lord means inside you're full of joy and peace and patience, and you love life, love yourself, love what's going on, not worried about the messes that rise up and the things that come against you and the confusion and the stuff that life throws at you. Inside, you're strong. Strong in the Lord. Bring it on. Not a problem. I was sharing the other day of how when I was a young guy that my parents wouldn't let me fight. And so I get beat up all the time because I was a Christian. And one day, they'd had enough. Taught me how to fight. Go ahead and use it. Now, wherever I went, because I was trained first a little bit in boxing and then in taekwondo, and we did a lot of just fighting and training in the ring, and I became very comfortable and confident in looking after myself. Now, wherever I went, before I was in fear looking around, and just inside I was trembling, even if I had a strong front, and I was hoping I could get past this guy or bluff my way past this guy. Now I'm walking down going, you want to take me on? Go right ahead. That's actually how I felt. And it was kind of a cool feeling. Not that I wanted to hurt people, but that there was such a confidence. Being strong in the Lord is this strength on the inside that God within me is up for anything that's coming at me. Anything I need to deal with and handle, I'm strong in the Lord. But then it goes on to say, and in the power of his might. This means the presence of God flowing off of you. So here's what he talks about. He says that there's a wrestling that goes on, not between flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers and the darkness of this age. He's talking here that there is a demonic force out there, that the enemy is always firing stuff at you. And this demonic force is always against the mind. Jesus stripped him of all authority. He's got no authority over you as a believer, but he'll try to make you think he does. So here it says that we're wrestling. Now this, no one has physically wrestled with a demon. I've not talked to anybody in my 35 years of ministry that, oh, a demon appeared, I wrestled, got him in a full Nelson, got him in a headlock, and I punched him in the face. No, no, this wrestling, and it's not a spiritual wrestling because Holy Spirit is in your spirit. And there's no way you have to wrestle with him spiritually. In fact, some people think that God's kingdom and the dark, they're all fighting each other. When the enemy sinned against God, okay, Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning out of heaven. There wasn't a big battle that was centuries in the making as Satan's duking it out with God. God is God. Satan, he's just an angel. He was created by God. So it's not a wrestling in the spirit. It's not a wrestling in the flesh. It's a wrestling of the mind. Your waist needs to be belted with truth. The breastplate is righteousness. Your feet shod with the gospel. So what is the gospel? Then you have to have a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, and a sword of the Spirit. He's just looking at all the armor. And he's saying each piece of the armor is basically, you better understand, what are you saved from? A lot of Christians don't think they're saved from sickness. And so there's no hope for them in that area until they change that belief. If they don't believe that the curse of the law is included, then everything from being kidnapped, early death, sickness, disease, rape, murder, they don't know that it's a part of the good news. So not knowing that means that piece of the armor is missing. Now, if you're shooting arrows at me and I got all my armor on, but I'm missing one piece, if it's the helmet, you're going to shoot for the head. But I've got my helmet on, but I got my breastplate gone and my chest is open, you're going to shoot for the chest. If I got my breastplate on and my helmet on, but I don't have anything around my stomach, the belt of truth, where are you going to shoot? You're going to shoot where the armor isn't there to stop that arrow. So the enemy simply looks at Christians, finds out what they believe, and he attacks them in the area where they don't have beliefs that work. Why would he attack the strongest part of a wall of a city? No. If you're attacking a city, you find the weak spot on the wall. If you're shooting an arrow at a soldier in armor, where is the area of weakness? Now, he's saying that when you have these pieces on, so you understand truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, and salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. When you understand these simple things, and you understand the Word of God on them, something within you will change everything in your mind. Because when a shot from the enemy comes that says you're not righteous, you're a loser, you haven't done enough for God to ever look after you, righteousness says it's a gift. I am righteous because of Jesus. That's simplifying everything. The good news is that Jesus took away all my sin. I don't be guilty about anything. And he gave me all of his blessings and he qualified me for them. To know that, all of a sudden, the enemy has no luck saying, well, this cancer has a right to be here because as a young woman, you had an abortion, or as a young man, you cheated on your spouse, or you did this. And we know all those things aren't good to do. But the enemy will use that because you don't understand the gospel. When a thought comes in, the shield of faith is the shield of your beliefs. If you don't have solid beliefs, when that thought comes in that's a lie, there's no shield of faith to stop it in that area because you don't have the right belief in that area. Each of these things is very interesting. Now, it goes on to say that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God praying always. Let's stop right there. Let's practically go at this now. You have habitual thinking. You could be, maybe you deal with anger. Maybe you deal with low self-worth. Maybe you struggle with bad habits that are killing you and destroying relationships. Maybe your mind's a mess all the time. There's never peace. How do you deal with that? It says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God praying. Stop right there. What I do is I speak the word. I speak God's word over situations where God's word is truth. You see, just because something happens doesn't mean it's God's will. So if I'm in an area and I need help in finding peace because there's so many things rising up that could go wrong, and I go, oh, I could lose this and I could lose that, and what about this? And oh no, a third thing's rising up and my life is just anxiety and stress. I would begin to pray God's word. I would begin to pray that I have not the spirit of fear. And by the way, praying it out loud. Only spoken words interrupt habitual thinking. Only speaking words interrupts, the negative thoughts. Now, someone said, well, Leon, what about people who are deaf and they sign? I believe that the signing of language, for example, causes the same pictures and influence on the mind that people who do speak do. So if you're deaf and you're watching this, yes, pray with your hands, which is out loud, because it begins to explode in your mind new pictures. So if fear and anxiety and things are pushing at me financially, relationally, physically, and it's just like, ah, and I can't even get the knot out of my stomach. All right, I'm going to pray the word. The word of God. People say, well, praying is the sword of the Spirit. No, it's not. You could pray a lot of stupid stuff. Lord, give me that guy's truck. Lord, I want that guy's wife. Lord, I want that guy's job. I curse that guy and Jesus. No. Just because you're praying does not mean it's the sword of the Spirit. In fact, I'm going to go on record as saying, after counseling as a pastor with people for decades and listening to them pray, most people are so ineffective because they pray what just they feel. They just pray what they think. They just pray a bunch of stuff. The sword of the Spirit, which means it's a taste of steel. It begins to cut into your enemy. It's not so much even that the sword of the Spirit is fighting demons, as much as it's like a scalpel that cuts off the wrong beliefs. So I'm praying the word. I'm declaring no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I have not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I declare right now that I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field. 1,000 might fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. I'm walking free. I am blessed because of Jesus. I talk out loud all the time. I don't do it in front of people. I don't do it in the shopping malls. You know, they're going to arrest you. I'm not talking. I'm talking about my prayer closet, in my car time, by myself time. I'm speaking out loud. What am I speaking? I'm praying the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon. The rest are all defense. And I'm praying the word, and I'm praying the word. And every time you figure out something you need to put off, I need to put off this sin that so easily besets me. All right, now I'm going to go, Father, your word says in Psalms 119, that thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against you. And I thank you that your word is in me, and I will not sin against you. I will not give in to temptation, because you are with me in your strength. And I just begin to speak out loud what I know God's word says. Daily, all the time. Oh, I got to do it daily. What, you like living the garbagey life you're living? You enjoy being addicted and never breaking? You love living in the fear and that inability to get to the next chapter of your life? Start praying the word. Praying the word will deal with the enemy if he's coming at you. Praying the word will deal with your own misbeliefs. Praying the word will take down the strongholds that have taken years to build into you. Praying God's word. Now, fear is faith in reverse. So let's talk about fear. It'll help you understand faith. If I have a fear, how do you know it's fear? You know it's fear when you're anxious about something and you start imagining all these wrong scenarios. You've got a really close friend. They're supposed to meet with you at 7 o'clock and they're not there. It's 9 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. It's 1 in the morning and you're phoning everybody. You're afraid. Do you know why? Because you see them wrapped around a telephone pole with their body hanging out. You see them in a back alley with their throat slit. You see them. You know something's wrong and fear's erupting because you see all these scenarios that are evil, bad, wrong. So fear is fear when it controls your imagination. When fear controls everything, your emotions, your imagination, you are seeing an end result that you don't know is true. But you're seeing it anyway. You're creating it. Fear's creating these pictures, and these pictures are just controlling you. Faith must do the same thing. What are you believing God for? I'm believing God to be in victory over this bad habit, to be in victory and to walk in peace. Then this speaking of God's word, if it's in faith, all right, should begin to repicture, re-envision, reimagine in your spirit. As you're speaking the word of God, you're seeing yourself free. You're seeing yourself confident. You're seeing yourself victorious over every area. You see, the language of your heart, which is where the control of your life is. It's where it's your self-worth. It's the center of how you see yourself is the heart, all these beliefs in there. You'll see yourself victorious. You'll see yourself healed. You'll see yourself prosperous. See yourself married. See yourself laughing and enjoying life. Faith produces pictures. Words produce pictures. If faith does not produce pictures in your life, then you're not in faith. Okay? You're actually in fear. You can be saying, I'm healed in Jesus' name, I'm healed. Oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed in Jesus' name. But literally, you can tell that you're saying that as you see yourself dying, as you see yourself, doctor shaking his head, as you see yourself, the doctor looking at the tumor growing, you're seeing all your friends crying, who's going to be your pallbearers? What's your family going to do without you? These are the scenarios blasting through your head, controlling you, this habitual thinking. To begin to pray and declare, for example, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Those are just words. What's the weapon that you don't want prospering? Well, it's fear. Good. Then see fear falling down and you laughing, I'm full of courage. If the weapon is sickness, then as you say that I am healed and no weapon formed against me shall prosper, then you're seeing that cancer as a weapon. And you're seeing a doctor smile and go, it's gone. You're seeing your medical report, completely healed, whatever. But you need the word of God must build pictures. The word of God must go to the end. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But the word seen means sensed. I want to encourage you to recognize that the weapons of our warfare as believers are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Or, right here, the putting off of wrong beliefs is the pulling down of strongholds. This is the same thing. Put off the old, put on the new. Is pull down strongholds, build the life that you want. And it says the way to pull down strongholds is to cast down arguments. You're always asking yourself questions and you're always answering. That's what thinking is. So arguing goes on in everybody's brain. You're normal. If sometimes you can be so paralyzed in making a decision because your own mind is arguing with itself. Deep beliefs are roaring at you. Deep beliefs are speaking to you. It's like the Goliaths in your life are the beliefs of your life. And they're shouting at you. You're a loser. You're going to fail. You're not going to make it. Everyone's going to laugh at you. You don't fit in. These beliefs shout at you. And it says there's an argument here. You got to cast it down. You got to recognize that. And it says, in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God's truths. You have to literally judge every thought in your head. Is that Bible? Then I'm not going to be thinking about this. As you pull down these thoughts and you take thoughts captive, you're going to find you're putting off the old, putting on the new. Even if you know, for example, that you have a bad habit, what's the good habit that replaces it? Leon, I am impatient and angry, and I say things before I think, and I hurt my relationships. I do things that hurt my spouse, my kids, okay, stop. Then you need patience. Yes, you need peace. Yes, all right, let's go with patience. You're gonna put off the anger and the uncontrolled things you say and do to people, and you're gonna be patient. Now, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. As you take God's word and speak God's word, it grows on the inside of you. Now, fruit never goes, I planted a seed, boop, there's the fruit. No, it takes days, it takes weeks. And so as you focus on God's word, deep within you, the fruit of patience begins to grow. The fruit of joy. If you're always negative and unhappy and grumpy and being around you is depressing and you want to break that, what do you want? Well, you want joy. Okay, I want to grow the fruit of joy. Then you begin to focus on the joy of the Lord is my strength. I thank you right now, Lord, that you fill my mouth with good things, that laughter doeth good like a medicine, that a merry heart, and you begin to just speak words. This is who I am in Jesus' name. The way to pull down a stronghold, which is a stronghold of thinking, to put off wrong thinking and to put on this new man, which is Jesus in your spirit. There's a new you. How do you put him on? You begin to speak God's word. This last line I'll share with you, it says here, I think it's verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 10. It says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How many? Every thought. Never let a stray thought bounce around in your head. The second a thought comes that makes you down, discouraged, unhappy, jealous, lustful, whatever that thought, stop right there. Go, oh, wrong. I'm not taking that thought. And the shield of faith or the shield of your beliefs comes up and go, no. And then it says, and be ready to punish all obedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Kind of a crazy verse, but look at it this way. As you obey by learning the truths of God's word, as you obey by getting the truths of God's word into your mind and you know what the truth is, those areas of the armor, then you still have to use it. You got to punish the disobedient thoughts in your head. It's not talking about you punishing others. It's talking about the disobedient thoughts, that it could be the enemy shooting them at you as a dart, and the shield of faith stops that. It could be your own beliefs that rise up that you've dealt with, but yet all of a sudden you go in a situation and this old fear tries to rise up. No. So make sure that every disobedient thought, that you handcuff it, that you refuse to give into it. And it's going to take some weeks of just continually confessing the word. If you do not pray the word out loud, you will never really see the completion. And you're never really fixed permanently. That the constant daily, see, the renewing of your mind is not, oh, I finally did it. No, no. It's a daily process all the time. As new thoughts attack you, if you're single and you get married, you got new worries. If you're married and you have kids, you got new issues to deal with. If you've been doing well, but now financial problems rise up. If you're healthy, but now you're sick, there's always going to be new things that rise up in life. So every day, renew your mind with God's word. Watch what he does. I pray this has helped you. We'll see you tomorrow.